I'm going to be really, really, really transparent today. I am going to open my heart to you. I am going to open my mind to you. I'm going to open my thoughts. Everything that has plagued me over the past several weeks and the trials that I've gone through and the victories that I've received. In that, I know that you always open yourself up for criticism and things like that. But from what I've seen from the body of Christ here and from all across the country, I don't even think that that's a possibility. And even if it did happen, it doesn't bother me one bit. I'm going to ask those that are tuning in to watch, I know my family in California is, and those around the region, that if what is shared today ministers to you, that you would share it in your social media. The phone number to the church is 989-781-4668. I'm going to ask the body that's here today that if you think that what is shared today may help somebody, I would ask you to share it without burden or bondage on your social media through Facebook. And again, the phone number for anyone who wishes to call here and speak to me is area code 989-781-4668. So, the title of today's message is From Darkness to Light. I was going to title the message Lessons That I've Learned. I'm going to talk about today lessons that I've learned, but I'm going to tell you in these lessons that I've learned how it took me from a place of the most darkest point in my life to the light of Christ, to a place of where I am right now. My entire life, from the age of 16 to now 46, my entire adult life, for 30 years, I have dedicated my life to the preservation of life. From being an X-ray orderly in Pacific Hospital at the age of 16, to being a medic in the Army and a nurse in the Army, coming out and becoming a registered nurse, and then from nursing, going into the ministry and pastoring. All I've ever desired to do, and I don't know how this will come out, I may be emotional, but I believe that's just the power of the Lord working in me. All I've ever wanted to do in my life, I'm telling you this to lay a foundation, all I ever wanted to do in my life is to help people. I want to see families transformed. That's why I'm in the ministry. I want to see the power of Jesus Christ move in people's lives. I want to see not only people be spiritually healthy, but physically healthy and mentally healthy. I recently became a health coach for this very reason. It's in my DNA. It's a desire of my heart. I'm laying a foundation because 2 weeks ago and 2 days on May 3rd at 4:03 in the afternoon leaving church, for those of you who don't know and those of you who may not know listening, I left church in my vehicle like any other day, and I was driving down the road, and I hit and killed a man. It was the worst point of my life. It haunts me to think about the trials and the visions of the accident. It took me of a place of just a normal day. Everything was going fine to, in an instant, somebody who has spent their life trying to help people hits somebody and kills them. And I have no clue now what's going on at that point. I'm talking 2 weeks ago. I'm in shock at that point in time. I don't know if I'm praying, if I'm administering CPR, if I'm calling 911. I have no clue what's going on. 30 years of medical training, and I'm just lost in my head. in shock. Not, I was without hope. I was hopeless. The only thing I could do was reach out and call my wife and just say, I just hit somebody and they're dead. At that very moment, my life that I knew for the previous 46 years changed in an instant. At that very moment, everything that I had developed in my character, developed spiritually, developed physically, everything changed. Just in an instant, in the blink of an eye. I want to take you to a few scriptures as I build upon what started to transform in my life. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, "Moreover, let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings." I couldn't do that. I didn't understand this. Knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. These are things that I have been ministering on and teaching on for 12 years. It was in me, but it was not connected to this. This right here, my mind was a mess. I was in a very dark place. And endurance develops maturity and character. And character produces joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. I never once questioned my salvation, but I had no joy. I had no peace. Everything that I have stood up in front of you to talk about, to say that you are more than victorious in Christ Jesus, He is our confident hope. You're more than a conqueror. Everything that I have taken in and taught left me in an instance. My mind, again, was a mess. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us. I was at a most shameful point in my life. I was at the most guilty point in my life. A week prior, I had just preached a message titled, "I'm Sorry." I had never been more sorry in my life. Prior to those teachings, Pastor Weldon had been preaching on forgiveness and not laying it to their account. I've taught on forgiveness and was saying you have to forgive. That's the only way to bring healing into your life. And I knew that's one thing I did is I granted forgiveness verbally to myself, but I didn't feel it. I was still a mess in my head. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts and through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The Holy Spirit has lived in me for 12 years. The Holy Spirit transformed my life 12 years ago. But at this very moment, 2 weeks ago and 2 days, I could not feel the Holy Spirit. I could not see the Holy Spirit. We're hearing messages. All things work to good to those who are called according to His purpose. I could not see any good in what had happened. My mind, again, was an absolute mess. I was in a very dark place. So I want to start to talk to you about some of the lessons that I've learned as we move on. Tragedy is a teacher. Tragedy in our lives is a teacher. If you listen. At that point, 2 weeks ago when this happened, I wasn't listening. I was only listening to my heartstrings being tugged on because the man that I hit was a father, and he was a husband. He was a human being. Everything that I've worked to preserve in life. That's all I could think about. I didn't want to listen to anything else. I had friends that were coming over and ministering to me in an open, loving heart. And people were trying to cheer me up. But the last thing in the world that I wanted was to be cheered up because I didn't feel good enough. I was guilty in my mind. I was guilty in my mind. I didn't believe that I deserved to smile. I didn't deserve to laugh. I didn't deserve to feel peace, have peace, have joy, every part that comes from the fruit of the Spirit. I felt love, but it was the deep aching of love that was causing me such emotional distress, just like the life of a loved one that you lose, a father, a mother, a child. It was the death of somebody, but not just the death. I was dealing with tremendous guilt. I didn't know what to call it. I kept calling it, I hit somebody and killed them. I say that because I want to talk about something a little bit later. You know, I didn't want to feel anymore. I didn't want to feel the guilt. I didn't want to feel the shame. I didn't want the questioning that kept resonating over and over and over in my head. Why didn't you see him? Why did this happen to me? And about 50 other things that you could possibly think of in a situation like this. And then something started to change in me a day or so later. And I realized, as I was thinking about people that do drugs and alcohol in excess, and I thought about when I used to drink alcohol, and I thought, now I see why people self-medicate with things like that, because trauma in life makes you not want to feel anything else, so you want to escape the realities of life. And I realized, I can't do that. I need to face this head on. And so at that point, Saturday, a day later, I realized that faith is my drug. The faith that I have in a God who saved me, in a living God, the hope that I have in God, that is my drug. And so I started to try to get these heart strings connected to my mind. And it was a battle. James 1:2-4 says, my brothers and sisters, be very happy when you are tested in difficult ways, or be joyful in all circumstances. Really? It's okay to laugh. I mean, really? You know, I mean, in this, I was like, be joyful in all circumstances. You see, blinders go on. They cover our face when traumatic things happen in life. Everything that you've got inside you, everything that you've learned and ate on, the word, everything like that tends to just disappear when something horrible happens. But God knows better. And that is why he has laid out his word that says, in those trials, count it all joy when you fall into them. Count it all joy. Because you know, I know, that such testing of my faith produces endurance. Again, I had to go back. Faith. Faith in God is my drug. And that's producing endurance in me. And I will endure, verse 4, until the testing is over. And then you will be mature and complete, and you won't need anything. At the point, as I was trying to have my faith built and get back to a place of hope and get my mind right on this tragedy, I knew the last thing in the world that I needed to do was miss church. So 2 days after the accident, not 48 hours, I came to church. Oh. And I got in front of it and I announced to you that we're here what had happened. And I just simply said, worship with me through this. When I came to church, the church showed up. If you don't understand what I mean by that, the body of Christ, you're the church. This is a building. You're the church. And you showed up. And I am here to tell you that miraculous things started to take place in worship that day. And I have no idea, but I had no idea what was going on during worship. I know that some people had surrounded me. I didn't know that it was 90% of the church body that surrounded me. I didn't know, but I felt love. I felt acceptance. I felt for the first time in a couple days like things are going to work out and it's going to be okay. I felt like this horrible battle that I was in, that I was finally making headway. I was finally starting to gain some footing. The miracle in this that you guys need to understand is this is 2 days after. This isn't 2 years after. This is 2 days after. So 1 Samuel 16:7 came to mind as I started to think about you. You guys. As I started to think about you, I started to think about those that are listening, those, my sisters, not 24 hours later from the accident, three sisters in California showed up in my driveway, unbeknownst to me, rented a car, flew all night, all three sisters, believers, grounded in the Word, coming to support not only their physical, biological brother, but a spiritual brother. I showed up to church on Sunday surrounded by brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers in the Lord. Those of you in here went and told other people of what happened. And from that point, there were other churches that put me on their prayer lists all across this region. I had family members in Ohio that were praying for me. Even this past Friday, still receiving text messages and phone calls saying, "Hey, Pastor Mike, you're still in our heart. I'm still thinking about you daily. I'm still praying for you." So this is the word that came to me. But the Lord told Samuel, "Don't look at his appearance or how tall he is, because I've rejected him. God does not see as humans see. Humans look at outward appearances, but the Lord looks into the heart." So I stand before you 2 weeks later in 2 days to tell you that on that Sunday, 2 days after the incident, I saw your heart. I saw the caring that you had. I saw what was going on. Listen, if you have any doubt in your mind whatsoever, if you have ever been used by God, you need to take that doubt and totally wash it away, because I'm here to tell you right now, in order for you to understand this, you have been used mightily by God, not just for me and my family, but for the family of the individual that I hit. Yes. Your prayers have been answered. God has open ears, and He has heard them. Healing started that Sunday. But the miracle hadn't come yet. From that Sunday 2 weeks ago to today, I haven't broke down as an emotional wreck. Sunday, leaving church, was the last time I broke down in an emotional wreck. Healing started to take place. The body of Christ is alive and well. The body of Christ is alive and well. And for those of you that were here that Sunday, you'll know what I'm saying when I say, "And it is well with my soul." Amen. 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 2 days later, and still healing, I was dealing with some haunting thoughts. Still those thoughts of why didn't you see him, why, a whole lot of unanswered questions, things that I will never know. I'll never know these things, right? Still dealing with these haunting thoughts. Two of my sisters that came on Saturday had to leave Sunday after church. One sister, my sister Sherry, was able to stay a couple more days, and I'm sitting at a table, and I'm still just kind of taking deep breaths, trying to get through the process of everything that's happened. I'm still dealing with this. Healing had started, but I'm still dealing with this. And my sister, Sherry, looks at me, and she says, "Give yourself grace." For years, I've taught that the same grace that we have received from God is the same grace that we need to sow into others' lives. I've taught the same exact thing with the forgiveness. But I was totally missing this mindset of giving myself grace, unmerited favor, forgiveness, not laying it to my account, not burdening myself. See, everything up until this point, everything was me. This is what I did. Look at me. It's horrible. My mind was a mess. Everything, I was beating myself up. I was my own worst enemy because the other family that was involved, they were a godsend. They were walking in forgiveness. They were full of life and full of love. I hadn't sown any grace to myself. I didn't feel like I deserved to sow the grace to myself. And then I thought, if I'm worthy of God to have his son die for me on the cross, why would I not be worthy of giving myself grace? And so I then started to have to talk to myself about these things. And now something started to take place even more in me, because now all of a sudden, the very thing that gives us our salvation, right? We're saved by grace through faith, right? The very thing that gives us our salvation started to roll in my mind, and I started to think on scriptures like 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so I started to recite that over and over again. Paul asked 3 times, Lord, take this from me. Take this thorn out of my flesh. And God responded to him, my grace is all you need. My grace is sufficient. So I kept telling myself, Lord, your grace is all I need, because in my weakness, his power is made perfect. And I was at the weakest point of my life. In the medical field of 30 years, I've seen devastation and I've seen trauma, but I've never been that part of the trauma. And so I started to say these things. And then 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 came into mind. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Man, there was a stronghold on my mind. There was a stronghold on me. Casting down imaginations. My thoughts were all over the place. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, I was thinking as the world thought. I was not thinking as I had been taught to think. I hadn't transformed my mind. And God brings into, or it says, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. So, God's grace was sufficient for me, and now I knew I need to start taking every thought that was coming in. I needed to take it captive, I needed to stop it right there, and I needed to lay it at the cross and let Jesus Christ deal with it. I knew scripture that said we were not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I know that the Spirit of God that lives in me has a sound mind, which gives my mind soundness. I know that God is not a God of confusion, so why am I in this place of confusion? I need to get out of it. So I started this place of trying to sow the word into my life so that I could start to see more transformation take place. Because me groveling and boo-hooing and popping snot bubbles and kicking rocks isn't going to help anybody. It wasn't helping me, and it wouldn't help anybody else. But being able to gain the strength to be able to share my testimony, my test, and my witness with others, I think can bring great healing. Because as I go on, if I'm not boring you, moving into how the word works. So we know in Romans 12:2 that we're not to be conformed to the world, but we're to be transformed by renewing our mind. In this, as my mind was a mess and I didn't want to feel anything, and then realizing that my faith is my drug, I also was dealing with this thing where I just wanted to run. I just wanted to run from I wanted to escape. That whole fight or flight syndrome that God has given us as an ability to survive, it was fully alive in me, but I didn't want to fight. All the fight was out of me. I mean, I was defeated, you know? But I wanted to run. I just wanted to take off. I didn't know where I wanted to go. I didn't know if I physically wanted to run, but I definitely wanted to run out of my head. I definitely wasn't in the right place still. So Wednesday, 5 days later after the accident, Now you need to understand what I just said. 5 days later after the accident. Okay, now I'm starting to call it by what it is, an accident. Now I'm not calling it about I hit and killed a man. Now I'm calling it by what it is. It's an accident. See, healing's taking place, right? 5 days later after the accident, I get a phone call from a guy who 8 years earlier I had ministered to where the same thing happened. Only this now, the student becomes a teacher and starts ministering to me. He's gone through it. He's been in that battle. He's chewed the same dirt that I'm chewing right now. And he started to tell me what he had to deal with. And he told me that he didn't drive for a year. And I knew that that can't happen. I have to get back. I have to get back in the saddle. I have to get back on the horse. I have to ride the bike again. You understand what I mean? I have to. I can't allow a year to go by. I drove to church today. You know, there's 2 weeks later, and in a week after that, talking with this individual, I had drove. Because I had started to talk to him that faith is the opposite of fear. And I had a big fear in me. So not only guilt and shame and my mind being a mess, I was dealing with now fear and the what ifs and the unknowns and the questions of why and the haunting thoughts and the visions of the accident, all this stuff going on. And I was like, man, okay. Again, I have to take every thought captive. So a scripture that I quote all the time, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I quote the scripture all the time, and then I teach on this scripture to let people know when you're going through an issue, when there's a tribulation or a trial or a test in your life, just know that you're not staying in this valley. You're actually going through the valley, right? And so we've heard this, right? But this individual that this happened to 8 years ago, he said, yeah, but Mike, you need to hear this. You're trying to run through the valley. It says, yea, though I walk. Do you see, if we run through our trials, we're going to miss things. We're going to miss things that the Lord is trying to show us. Remember, tragedy is a teacher. Tragedy is a teacher. If we run through the obstacles in our life and we're just trying to escape everything, those things will catch up to us eventually. Being a psychiatric nurse for 17 years, I knew that if I repressed thoughts back into my head, if I just put these things that I'm trying to think about back there somewhere, that 2 years, 2 days, 10 years, 20 years down the road, something is going to spark it. And because I hadn't dealt with it, because I had run from it, thought I was taking every thought captive, but because I was running from it and hadn't dealt with it, it's going to rear its ugly head and it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be that post-traumatic deal all over again. We have to get in front of our issues in life. And we have to figure out a way through the Word of God to have them work in our lives. So I'm not running through this. I'm walking through this valley. I'm not out of this valley. I'm not out of the valley. But I'm smiling today. I'm confident today. And I'm learning every step of the way. Because I know that every step in this valley, the God will never leave me or forsake me. He is right there by my side, and His Spirit lives and rests in me. I know that as I walk, if I become weak, His power is made perfect in my weakness. But it gets even better. I was talking to my daughter Alexis the other day, and the biggest battle I think that people deal with, and it definitely was with me, is everything that you've learned through life that you have in your heart, right? Love. When we think of love, we always think of a heart, right? So everything deep inside here, our soul, where our spirit rests, where God's Spirit rests, the hardest thing that we have is to get that to line up with this. And she had told me this. My daughter Alexis says, the longest road you'll ever travel is from your heart to your head. And so that resonated with me. If somebody in here or listening is going through something right now, don't run from it. Don't run through it. you are traveling that road, and it's a long road to get from here to here, but when you connect the dots, when you connect the dots, that is when you have perfect peace, and that is when the victory comes. So another statement, I have a Bible study at my house on Tuesday night, and we're praying, and I'm making this statement. I said, listen, I don't have any peace. My peace is gone. So that was another battle I was trying to get through and deal with. I have learned the power of peace. Now, peace comes from a fruit of the Spirit. And we talk about love, joy, and peace. But without peace, my friends, I had no joy. It was in me, but I wasn't allowing it to come out. It was the peace of God that passes what? All understanding, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart, listen, and minds through Christ Jesus. Wow, this makes a whole lot of sense to me now. This makes a whole lot of sense to me. I had no peace, I got peace, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, because in the world, 6 days later, how in the world can you have peace after something like this? But in God's kingdom, 6 days later, I woke up Thursday, 6 days later, and without guilt, without condemnation, without shame, everything that worldly mindset would put on you, I woke up, somebody said, how are you doing? And it just came out, I'm good. And I was like, whoa. I just said, I'm good. Wow. Oh, I'm good. And I stand before you today, I'm good. I really am. I'm good. I've got peace. I've got peace in the process with my heart and my mind. I'm closing in this area right here. Not much longer, guys, but these are very important things. How many of you know that Jesus is there to take our burdens? He says, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy and light, right? But we give in exchange the sins of our life, the troubles of our life, we give them to Jesus, right? I don't want to say there's something greater, but I'm going to tell you there's something that is equally, to me, as important. And I hope you understand this. I hope you get this. Jesus takes our burdens. But until you let go of that burden, it is the body of Christ that helps shoulder those burdens. I am so grateful for a church family. If you're listening and you don't have a church family, you need to get one. If I did not have you guys, if I didn't have people pouring out, that Sunday in worship, I don't know about you, but I didn't see anybody that wasn't weeping with me. That was you carrying my burden, my hurt. A week later, I still had people crying when they saw me, asking, how are you? Still carrying my burdens, and I had to relieve them and say, I'm good. I'm good. I've laid it down. You lay it down now. But the power of the body of Christ, that is why every one of you are needed. Don't ever think that you're not important, because it is for times like this. And I'm here to tell you, I'm sharing from the pulpit something that's happened with me, but every week we have something going on in the body where the rest of the body needs to be holding them up. So I started to think about Scripture. In the Old Testament, where Moses was going to go up on the hill, and this is what I saw with you guys. The Israelites were going to fight the Amalekites, and they were going up on the hill. Many of you know this story. But as Moses was going up on the hill to watch the battle of Israel fight the Amalekites, he had the rod of God in his hand, but he went up with Aaron and Hur. Aaron and Hur went up with him as battle buddies, if you will. As Moses was on the mountain and his battle buddy standing beside him, he would lift the staff of God, the rod of God, into the air. And when his arms were lifted, Israel was victorious and they were winning the battle. Now this went on from sun up to sundown. And Moses' arms, they would start to grow weary, and he would start to lower the rod of God. And when that would happen, the Israelites would start to be defeated by the Amalekites. Aaron and Hur, his battle buddies, they saw what was going on. So they, knowing that they need to win this battle, they pulled up a stone for Moses to sit upon. And then one on each side of him stood and held his arms up so that he could keep them up in the air. And Israel was successful in defeating their enemy, the Amalekites. And so this is how I see the body of Christ. This is how I see you guys. In my lowest of low and my darkest of dark, you were my battle buddy. You lifted my arms up in the midst of it until I had victory over the enemy that was plaguing me. And the enemy was my mind. And the enemy is also the powers and principalities of this world that we live in. When I was in this accident, and this is a revelation that came to me yesterday. When I was in this accident, I thought, wow, Satan, you won a battle. And my mindset was, whoo! You know, the week prior, I had just sung, the enemy's been defeated, right? And then Friday, 5 days later, I'm in this accident. And I'm like, wow, Satan, whew, maybe you're not defeated. You won a battle. Yesterday, it came to me. When I was in the accident, that wasn't the end of the battle. That was the beginning of the battle. The accident was the beginning of the battle. 6 days later, I won the battle. Amen. Amen. And so I know because I know all of us deal with things. And you may have a point in your life, maybe even right now, that you're thinking, man, the enemy's winning. The enemy won a battle or whatever. The fight's not over. And that's where us as Christians, having done all, will stand. Listen, the Word works. The Word of God works. It works. Although this will be with me for the rest of my life, it will not define the rest of my life. John 10:10 says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I finish it with simply this. Jesus wins. Jesus wins. I'm going to address those listening right now. I would encourage you that if you're going through something, that you need to get connected to a church. I hope that if you've listened to this whole message, that it will inspire you to know that you can't win battles on your own, and that you do need a mighty army of Christians to hold you up during these things. I could be like anybody else in the world and have my mind plagued for the rest of my life. But in 6 short days, God worked a miracle in my life because I've applied what I've learned, and the body that is here and those of you listening have lifted me up. I encourage you to get connected to a church, wherever it may be, one that you can grow in. And I also encourage you to quit beating yourself up and to give yourself grace. And if you've never made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life, you just simply ask Him, Lord, come into my life. And I love you, and I thank you for forgiveness, and I want to be with you for the rest of my life. Just simply, just let Him know how much you love Him, and you're a new creation, and things will change in your life. It's that simple. So God bless you, and I love you for listening, and I ask, please share this if you think it will help, and if you need to call, call. Nathan, you can shut that off. Please. Now, with the body of Christ here, I'm going to close.